Good morning. My name is Michael, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Report on Public Finances and Public Debt for the First Quarter of 2011. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the conference over to Dr. Miguel Messmacher. You may begin your conference.
Thank you very much, operator. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Mexican Ministry of Finance's conference call on the public finances and public debt report for the first quarter of 2011. Let me just remind briefly our friends from the press that this call is off the record. I will start, as usual, with a brief introduction on economic activity and the results on public finances. And then Alejandro Díaz de León will finish with the recent developments in terms of public sector debt. Very briefly, in terms of economic activity during the first quarter of 2011, in general we observed pretty positive news in terms of maintained relatively high growth during the quarter, which has led us to forecast that the Mexican economy would be growing about 5% in annual terms during the quarter. This implies seasonally adjusted quarter-to-quarter growth rates of about 1% in quarterly non-annualized terms. In terms of the details, and here I would like to perhaps focus a little bit more in terms of the monthly seasonally adjusted results rather than the annual ones, as they give sort of a better view about economic developments. In terms of general economic indicators, the result that we observed for our monthly GDP proxy, the IGAE, was pretty good in January with growth of about 0.9% in monthly non-annualized terms, which gives you an extremely high annualized rate of growth. In February, we observed a slight deceleration to a growth rate of about 0.3%, which is not unusual given the very good result that we observed in January, and to a very large extent was driven by a very bad result in February in the agricultural sector, driven by the problems observed in the north of the country, particularly Sonora and Sinaloa, and the issues with the maize crop there. But in general, we're anticipating that we should be observing a relatively strong pickup back again in March. When you look at the components of aggregate demand, investment had an extremely good result in January with a seasonally adjusted monthly non-annualized growth rate of 2.2%. And when we observe at the monthly growth rates of total and TAP sales and Walmart sales, we observed average monthly non-annualized growth rates during each of the 3 months of the first quarter of the year. In the case of ANTAD, they were close to 0.3% non-annualized. In the case of Walmart, they were more towards 0.5%. So in general, we're observing relatively good dynamism in terms of sales. And then in terms of employment, we continued observing a pretty high month-to-month seasonally adjusted increases in employment, which were, depending on the month that you pick, between 45,000 per month and 60,000 per month. So in terms of the result that we already observed in April, in the second quarter of the year for the first half of April, also suggests that a very strong job creation process is maintained. Finally, moving on to the part on external demand, when you look at the, again, month-to-month seasonally adjusted growth rates of our non-oil exports, they maintained extremely high growth rates with a growth rate of 3% in January and then 1.1% and 1.1% in February and March each, which again suggests that a pretty strong dynamism has been maintained during the quarter. Moving very briefly, the results of inflation during the first quarter of the year, as all of you know, were also quite favorable. With the inflation rate at the end of March closing at 3%, something which I would like to highlight, which I think sort of gives a relatively good flavor about the results, As several of you know, part of the result was driven by very favorable results in terms of agricultural produce in the non-core component of inflation. But when you look at core inflation, the evolution has been quite favorable as well. And two things to note is that the inflation in services, which typically has been the more rigid one and the one where Banxico had the most problems with having a convergence to the inflation target, actually came down and is now at levels below 3%. And the same thing is happening with within core inflation with those goods that are not related with foodstuffs, which also has an inflation below 2%. We have observed some contamination from higher commodity prices internationally, which has led to an increase in the rate of inflation in terms of goods that are related with agricultural produce to inflation rates somewhat above 5%, but this has been more than compensated by the favorable evolution that we have observed both in services inflation and in non-foodstuff merchandise goods. So in that respect, the news on inflation front continues to be favorable. Finally, the recovery in the financial sector continues, and in particular in credit growth. In February, you observed relatively strong growth of 8% in terms of credit by commercial and development banks to the private sector. And within, we observed a relatively strong growth in all of the components, with 6.5% growth in consumption for credit, 6.8% in mortgages, and 9.1% in credit for firms. Moving on very quickly to the results on public finances, during the first quarter of 2011, the public balance registered a surplus of 1.3 billion pesos. The primary balance registered a surplus of 32.3 billion pesos. And if you look at the total surplus excluding investment from PEMEX, which is relevant given that that is the balance that is approved specifically by Congress, the public balance registered a surplus of 39.5 billion pesos. Moving to the results in terms of budgetary revenues during the first quarter of the year grew by 1.6% in real annual terms. Within this increase in revenues, we observed an increase in oil revenues by 1.9% in real annual terms. Now, this relatively weak rate of growth in oil revenues in spite of the high oil prices is basically due to the fact that in February of last year, we recovered 20 billion pesos from the stabilization fund of Pemex. In our accounting, the recovery of resources from the stabilization fund of Pemex is recorded as oil revenues. When you take those 20 billion pesos out of the base of comparison of 2010, you end up observing an increase in oil revenues of 11.7% in real terms. And that can basically be explained. There are a set of other factors, but in a very simple way, that can be explained by the fact that we have observed an increase in real annual terms of 21% in the price of crude oil exports, while at the same time the exchange rate has appreciated with respect to last year by 9%. And that more or less gives you the difference. There are other items, a small decline in the oil production platform, an increase in oil imports, but this is basically what explains the dynamism in oil revenues, which once you adjust for the base of comparison, gives you a pretty important rate of increase of almost 12% in real annual terms, as I mentioned. Non-oil tax revenues increased, and if you make the same adjustment, this gives you a real increase in total revenues of 4.5% in real annual terms. Non-oil tax revenues increased by 1% in real annual terms. Within, we observed relatively good results in terms of an increase of 17.4% in our excise taxes, partly due to the increase in the cigarette tax, 5.5% in the tax on new cars, and 5% also in the combined income tax yet to a needed tax collection. There was a negative result from the point of view of VAT revenues, which decreased by 3.5% in real annual terms. This is a result of two factors. If you remember, in the first quarter of 2010, there was an atypically high tax collection due to the tax reform that entered into effect in 2010, which led to an anticipation of sales into the end of 2009, so that was an artificially high tax base of comparison in the first quarter of 2010. And the second factor that we observed at the end of the fiscal year, the second half of fiscal year 2000, budgetary control different from Pemex increased by 7.1%, the high non-recurring revenues that we registered in the first quarter of the previous year associated with important non-recurrent revenues that we had originally programmed for last year. With respect to the program, budgetary revenues were below the programmed amount by 13.4 billion pesos, basically due to non-oil tax revenues. I think that two remarks should be made in this context. First one, which is very important, is that the difference in tax revenues with respect to the program declined during the month in the quarter. There was a relatively large difference between the observed and the program in January, but this declined during February and March. And our perception is that this partly has to do with changes in seasonality and some difficulties in forecasting the exact revenues that we would be receiving during each month of the year. If you remember, we have made two fiscal reforms and several other tax changes in recent years, in addition to having a very pronounced business cycle, which has made it difficult to have very precise forecasts at the monthly level. In the end, this generated a large difference between the programmed and the observed amount in January, but this actually came down significantly during the coming months. And then a second factor were the relatively high tax rebates, which were originated mostly by large exporting firms during the second half of 2010, and which were basically reflected in the VAT tax collection of January. Overall, moving on to the expenditure part, during the first quarter of 2010, total public sector expenditures increased by 2.7% in real annual terms. Within programmable expenditures, increased by 4.3% in real annual terms. Within expenditures, some results that are worth highlighting are that expenditures on social development increased by 12.3% in real annual terms. Physical fostered investment increased by 4% in real annual terms. Federalized expenditures, that is those federal resources transferred to states and municipalities through all the different mechanisms that we use, increased by 5.8% in real annual terms. And within shared revenues, increased by 3.6% in real annual terms. Finally, the financial cost of the public sector decreased by 17.3% in real annual terms as a result of slightly lower interest rates with respect to the first quarter of last year and also due to the appreciation of the exchange rate. With that, I would finish my comments and Alejandro would discuss the results on public debt.
Hello, good morning. As you know, the strategy for public debt for this year has been to strengthen the domestic debt markets and foster proper functioning of debt markets. I would highlight basically four main elements. First, maturity and duration have returned to the pre-crisis levels. The marginal average maturity and duration of the gross issuance of fixed-rate bonds in the first quarter increased to 10.7 and 6.2 years, respectively. These figures were 6 and 4 years in the fourth quarter of 2008. The average maturity of domestic debt increased from 7.2 years in the fourth quarter last year to 7.34 years in the first quarter this year. And also the share of long-term fixed-rate government securities increased from 60.5 to 61.9% in the same period. The second important point I would like to highlight is that foreign investors' participation in the local market reached 723.7 billion pesos, which is an increase of 129.1 billion in the first quarter, which is more than 20%. And in this regard, it is worth mentioning that almost 70% of these foreigners' holdings are in M bonos. I think this highlights the interest of foreign investors in local debt market, especially in long-term nominal instruments, as a sign of confidence on economic policy and the outlook for the economy in the medium term. The third element regarding external debt, as you know, in February during the quarter, we issued we tapped the UMS 2020 bond with the lowest yield ever for that tenure, with a yield of 4.8%. And the fourth important item that I would like to discuss is basically the different figures regarding public debt. And basically, the stock for the federal government's net domestic debt at the end of the first quarter this year stood at 25.8% of GDP. From this amount, less than 20% corresponds to external debt, and more than 80% to the domestic component. At the end of the first quarter this year, the public sector's net debt, which includes the net debt of the federal government, public entities under direct budgetary control, and the development banks, was 31.4% of GDP, which is and the share among domestic and external is basically domestic 21.8% of GDP and external component 9.6% of GDP. And at the end of the first quarter of this year, the historical balance of the public sector borrowing requirements amounted to 35.6% of GDP. This amount is 0.9 percent points higher than the level observed at the end of last year, and this is mainly due for the seasonality on the GDP figures. And this basically sums up the most relevant items regarding public debt, and then we can turn on to questions.
And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, simply press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, to ask a question, press star 1. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. At this time, there are no questions in queue. I'm sorry, we do have a question from the line of Luis Arcentales with Morgan Stanley.
Hey, Miguel. Thanks for the call. I was reading through the reports and the annex, and I saw that the advance of the main projects in the budget was around 18%. Is that normal given seasonality, or is this execution lagging behind? And compared to last year, how that has evolved?
Sure, Luis. As you mentioned, there was an under-exercise during the first quarter of the year. This under-execution of expenditures in terms of programmable expenditures was of about 70 billion pesos. Now, it's very important to distinguish what you see from the point of view of the federal government and basically Pemex, CFE, and ISSSTE. Within these 70 billion pesos, only about 5 billion pesos is associated with expenditure below program by the federal government, and that's a historical low, both in absolute terms and even more in percentage terms. So actually, expenditure projects by the federal government are going extremely well, given what was originally expected in the program. The two big differences are Pemex and CFE. In the case of Pemex, there has been a delay in terms of investment expenditures and some contracts for services, which explain a very large part of this difference between what we observed and what was originally expected. What Pemex has told us is that they're anticipating that they're acknowledging that they did have a delay in some of their investment projects, but that they should be making up for that during the second and third quarters of the year. In the case of CFE, what turns out to have happened is that, as you know, gas prices, which is basically the most important fuel for electricity generation that CFE buys, have actually surprised on the downside. We used as a reference Henry Hub in the U.S., and the evolution in gas prices has been quite the opposite to what you have observed in oil prices, with gas prices actually remaining at very low levels given all the issues with shale gas in the U.S. and with increases in gas inventories. And that actually has led to lower costs of electricity generation by CFE. But that's obviously not an issue, but rather a fiscal space that we gain to the extent that CFE would not need to make such large expenditures on electricity generation. So the issue is basically one with Pemex.
Thanks a lot. That was great.
And once again, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Henina Zuniga with Barclays Capital.
Hi, Miguel. Thanks again for the conference call. I have a couple of questions. One is whether with the increase in oil prices, you anticipate any changes in the current sliding policy or pricing of gasoline products. And two, whether you can comment a little bit on the status of the oil contracts at Pemex.
Sure, Jimena. As to the gasoline pricing policy, we have as of yet not made any decision about making any type of changes. Obviously, I mean, from a macro point of view, clearly the fiscal accounts in the aggregate do benefit from higher oil prices. So in that respect, it's not that sort of maintaining the current trajectory for gasoline prices is generating problems from the point of view of public finances. Now, obviously, we have had debates within the ministry on whether it would be convenient to increase what is already a relatively significant crawl in prices of gasoline, which in annual terms, as you know, implies increases during 2010, just maintaining the current crawl of about 10%. So it's not insignificant. Now, clearly, we have had a very important debate internally in terms of what can be anticipated with international oil prices and gasoline prices as well. To the extent that part of the increase in international oil prices is due to temporary factors such as the problems in North Africa, which could eventually revert if, for example, Saudi Arabia decides to substitute for Libyan oil production, it wouldn't seem to make much sense to make a large change in the increase in gasoline prices just to get back on that change if eventually part of the increase in international oil prices was to prove temporary. So in that respect, we have the perception that we would need to have additional information to have a better sense of how much of the increase in international oil and gasoline prices is permanent in order to be able to make a final decision about whether we would be making any changes to our gasoline policies. In terms of the oil contracts, we are at a stage when potential participants are analyzing the specific contracts, presenting proposals, when the auction time had thought that we would be getting mostly medium-sized companies. If you could just ask one last time, operator.
Absolutely. We'll wait just a few more moments to ask a question. Press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And at this time, I show no further questions in queue.
Okay, thank you very much, operator. Thank you, everyone, for listening on the call. And as always, you know that any additional questions or issues, you can contact us directly or through the Investor Relations Office. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.